This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
There is a major development concerning the Deepwater Wind Farm off Block Island. The project has received full financing. To talk about the project, our guest is Deepwater Wind CEO Jeff Grabowski. Jeff, welcome back.
Hi, Dave.
Financing of more than $290 million from backers. Was it a tough sell to find financial support for a project like this? What kind of a pitch do you give?
Well, it certainly is a unique project in the United States, as it is the first offshore wind farm in America. So we began the financing process quite a long time ago. We're very fortunate to have strong equity backers who provided the initial funding that we needed for the project. And we began talking to financial institutions, banks, who provide construction loans this summer. And we essentially went through a selection process with a number of banks and ended up just last week with two banks who are supporting the full project. So we were very pleased by the reaction from the financial community and obviously ecstatic to have secured all the funding that we need to build the project.
Was it a situation where the banks would say, potential investors would say, come again, you want to do what? Or was there more of a firm understanding of the project?
There's a pretty deep understanding worldwide about offshore wind. And while it's new in the United States, there are 70 or so offshore wind farms in operation today and many tens of billions of dollars that have been invested building offshore wind farms. So while we're not familiar generally here in the United States with offshore wind, the financial community is quite familiar and quite comfortable with offshore wind.
Financing played a role in the seeming demise of Cape Wind project off Massachusetts when they couldn't obtain financing and the power purchase agreements that they had with NSTAR National Grid were terminated because they didn't meet a certain deadline. Was your financing, do you think, was it more difficult? What does this augur for your much larger utility scale wind farm that you have? You have leases in U.S. waters off Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and that's going to require a whole lot more money than the five turbines now off Block Island.
That's exactly right, Mark. The large project that we will be developing in the future after the Block Island project is much larger in scale, and consequently the financial commitments required will be much more substantial. That's precisely why we began with the Block Island project. We've always believed as a company that offshore wind will begin in the United States with a small demonstration scale project like Block Island. And although it's still a $250 million project, it is not the multi-billion dollar project that a much larger project would be. Block Island, I believe, will be a catalyst to building larger and larger projects in the United States along the eastern seaboard for sure, particularly here in the Northeast. And from the financial community's perspective, I think they really were looking to see a project in the United States receive all the permits that they need, enter into all the contracts necessary to build, and receive full financing. And I now think that will begin opening up the doors for these larger projects. So Block Island, I think, is a critical first step.
Now, one of the issues that people who are maybe not so comfortable with offshore wind, not the idea, but rather the cost.
Right.
You know, so that it's renewable energy, but it's more expensive to build, maintain, and use offshore wind than, say, onshore wind. So how will you deal with that issue going forward?
Well, I think the best way to look at it, Mark, is to look back at where onshore wind was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. At that time, onshore wind was much more expensive than other energy resources. As we made investments in onshore wind and began building projects, the cost for projects started to go down. Subsequent projects progressively became less and less costly to the point now where onshore wind is extraordinarily competitive in many energy markets across the United States. We feel that the same thing will happen with offshore wind. But you can't go from 0 to 60. You need to begin to go up that learning curve, and you need to start somewhere with the Block Island Wind Farm. We think that's where it begins, and we need to gradually build this industry up so we get to lower costs over time.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Deepwater Wind CEO Jeff Grabowski. Jeff, are there performance requirements attached to this financing of the Block Island project, perhaps construction dates, and then after everything is built, some kind of production performance requirement?
Dave, I can tell you that there were literally teams and teams of lawyers, accountants, and consultants and others who were poring over literally thousands of pages of documents in order to put the financing together. So I can assure you that there is a multitude of performance standards and various obligations that we have. Just as you have certain obligations when you have a home, a mortgage, for instance, there are certain things that you have to do to satisfy the bank in terms of maintenance and keep paying your property taxes and all those sorts of things. You've got to do the same thing for these big projects. I think I signed about 200 separate documents on the day of our financial close. So, yes, there are many obligations that include maintaining the project, building it according to certain standards, monitoring standards and production standards, all of the above.
So you have how much electricity you need to produce at a certain minimum level. That's part of this.
We have obligations to generate and pay certain debts, to generate certain revenue and to pay certain debt service and amortizing the loan and all that sort of thing. It's in one sense, like a very traditional loan, but in another way, just a very complicated version of it.
So construction starts this summer? In the water. You've already been building, actually.
Yeah,
right?
So we're hard at work right now. We will be getting some work down in Quonset in just a few weeks, and we will be installing the first elements offshore in early July. So July, August, and perhaps into September will be a busy time offshore Block Island.
What is the status, Jeff, in the short time we have left, of the siting of the transmission lines connecting up with the mainland with the Block Island project?
So that project will go into actual construction probably towards the end of 2015, with the cable actually laid on the ocean floor in the spring of 2016. So the overall plan is for all of those cables to be installed in early 2016, so that by the time the wind farm is completely constructed at the end of the summer of 2016, the cables will already be in place and energized and operating.
And do you know exactly where you want to come ashore?
Yes, it is. The cable will come ashore at Scarborough State Beach.
Where does it come ashore?
It comes ashore at Fred Benson Town Beach, which is in the northeastern side of the beach, of the island.
Anything else you want to mention before we check out?
Well, it's obviously a huge milestone for the project. And as excited as I am about the financing, I'm even more excited to begin construction offshore this summer.
Okay, that's all the time we have. Thanks to Jeff Grabowski, CEO at Deepwater Wind.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
And again, thanks to Providence Business News, Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.